As the 1960s drew to a close, the U.S. was emerging from an era of mass dam construction.
Potential sites in other canyons on the Colorado River await the day when they, too, will cradle mighty multipurpose dams.
In the early 1900s, the U.S. government started building dams up and down the Colorado River, helping provide cheap power and water to growing cities and farms in the West. By some estimates, it's now one of the most dammed river systems in the world. But some parts of the river are free-flowing, and efforts are underway on this stretch of the Colorado to get an official federal designation, recognizing and protecting its free-flowing status. In 1968, the U.S. government launched the National Wild and Scenic Rivers Act to preserve certain rivers with outstanding natural, cultural, and recreational values in a free-flowing condition. Over half a century later, over 200 rivers are protected under the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act. California has 23, New Jersey has 5, Colorado has 1, the Cashlapooter River on the Northern Front Range. But that might be about to change. I'm standing at the edge of Deep Creek, a half hour outside of Glenwood Springs. This river is on its way to becoming the second wild and scenic river in Colorado in 30 years. Getting a glimpse of the 15-mile river that stretches from the flat tops north of Glenwood Springs, 4,500 feet down to the Colorado River near Dotsero, can require driving some very muddy and very snowy roads. Once you get to Deep Creek's edge, it's clear how fitting its name is.
Wow. This is really deep. Ooh. Just kicked a rock over the edge by accident and it is gone.
During the winter, it's hard to get a close look at some of the outstanding remarkable values, or ORVs, that make Deep Creek a candidate for designation. So I asked Roy Smith, the Wild and Scenic Program Lead for the Bureau of Land Management, to describe them.
You have these beautiful cliffs on both sides of the broader canyon where you can see all this geology, and then some of the biggest cave systems in Colorado are in the Deep Creek watershed. And they have all of the unique formations inside because of the undisturbed hydrology of the watershed.
A crucial component for a wild and scenic designation is that the stream is free-flowing. That means it must have no dams or water storage. Then the BLM considers 13 additional factors.
There are things like, are there alternative uses of that stream that might be more important than protection? Like, for example, is it needed for a road corridor, or is it needed for energy development or something like that? And then some of the other factors include, political considerations. Is there state and local support or opposition to that designation?
Many rivers across Colorado have been found suitable for a wild and scenic designation, but that support element is often a major obstacle.
On almost any other stream that we analyze in Colorado, you will get some stakeholders saying, we don't think that designating this stream is a good idea because of whatever reason they have. On Deep Creek, neither the Forest Service or BLM got any comments from any party saying, we think designation is a bad idea.
However, Chris Treese, spokesperson for the Colorado River Water Conservation District, says some ranchers and grazers in the area have expressed their concerns to the River District.
They all have concerns, and rightly so, that there may be another level of bureaucracy or permitting or permission just to continue doing what they have historically done year in and year out. But there are very few water rights on Deep Creek itself or in the area, and been able to talk to the owners of those rights and I'm not going to yet say that we have 100% consensus, but we have, I think we're making great progress.
Although many might assume famous rivers like the Arkansas or Yampa, both deemed suitable by the BLM many years ago, would be front runners to become Colorado's next wild and scenic river, the fact that Deep Creek is so remote and inconspicuous has given rise to unique collaboration between the state and water rights protectors.
Traditionally, those entities have, you know, has not been supportive of new wild and scenic rivers in the state of Colorado.
Matt Rice is director of the Colorado Basin Program for American Rivers, the nonprofit spearheading the push for a wild and scenic designation in Deep Creek. He says that while opponents cite federal overreach as a major concern, Deep Creek has the potential to pacify fears about a wild and scenic designation impacting water rights.
It would be a full wild and scenic river, but in the legislation, it would say something along the lines of the outstandingly remarkable values of Deep Creek are protected by Colorado Water Conservation Board's in-stream flow right.
Once the Deep Creek Stakeholders Group has amassed all the data, documents, and support they need, it will be time for the final step, state legislation, and rallying support in Congress. But Rice says it probably won't happen anytime soon.
We understand that kind of the national politics would suggest that you know, getting a new wild and scenic river signed into law right now is not likely.
But support for the Deep Creek proposal is at the highest it's been in decades. Proponents of the measure, like Matt Rice, say they are willing to be patient, considering Deep Creek's potential to prove to the rest of the state and the nation, wild and scenic designations are flexible and a useful conservation tool that need not be feared. For Connecting the Drops and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Hanalee Myers.
Connecting the Drops is a collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio Stations and Water Education Colorado. Find out more at yourwatercolorado.org. Support is provided by CoBank, which provides financing solutions to rural water systems. Learn more at cobank.com.